Have you ever dreamed of a life designed by you, not for you? A life where you hold the reins of your financial future? At Become an Investor, we believe in you and your unique potential. We're a community of like-minded individuals all walking the path towards financial independence. We understand that success is crafted in the face of adversity. It's in these testing times that we discover our resilience, our determination, and our discipline. That's why we're inviting you to learn more about Become an Investor. It's not just about learning the ins and outs of real estate investing. It's about empowering you to take control of your financial future. We'll provide the tools, but the choice to act, to persevere, and to succeed is yours. Join us and start your journey towards living life by design. Together, we'll turn aspiration into reality and empowerment into success. Learn more at becomeaninvestor.com.
Everyone, we're back again with another episode of our Live Life by Design podcast, brought to you by Become an Investor. With a full house tonight, with a very intense night.
Right.
But that's not the topic.
No.
We have a more important topic that'll directly benefit our businesses. And for that, we have a full room tonight. Let's start off with beautiful people, ladies over here. Danny, how you doing?
What's up, beautiful people?
What's going on?
Excited tonight. Yes.
Right on.
Living life. I stay 1 hour to cast my vote, but we're not talking about that.
Okay. We're not talking about that
today.
We're not
talking about that. Yeah. So how's everything going for you, Danny?
Going good. Thank God.
Business good?
Business good. Phone is ringing, so I'm happy.
Right on.
When, you know, times it should be like that.
Yeah. Cool.
Happy.
Right on. Mr. Campos, how you doing?
Good, man. Good. Just same thing, you know, just trying to make things happen. But you know what? My phone isn't ringing this week, so
don't have the charm.
I'm not happy about that.
Charm.
No, man. My phone hasn't. Shit. It's been this week has been a little slow, but
yeah,
you know, I mean, it's not too crazy or too far into the week, but still, the normal off the hook ringing, or you know what I mean, is just not happening this week.
And wow.
Yeah, it kind of stopped Friday, and I'm like, what the hell, you know?
Really?
Yeah, so we'll see. I mean, it's you know, it's the cycles, right? You know, the ups and downs, so.
It's a busy week.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's a lot going on, though, right? There's a lot going on this week, so that's what I figured. I think after today, I think things will start to see a little change in things. People will start to feel a little more settled, right?
Right.
So, yeah, we'll see. I'm optimistic.
Right on. Cool. That's good, man. You got to be optimistic. There's no other way of
running your business, right?
Running your business, man. Entrepreneurship.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Fausto Miranda, how you doing tonight, man?
Good. How are you guys?
Good. Nice to have you tonight, man. How you doing?
Good. Thank you guys for the invite.
How's the business going? How's everything running for you?
It's going pretty good. I have a couple projects kind of coming up. A JDU that I'm working on recently that I picked up.
Right on.
Buddy of mine. But moving thoroughly and forward.
Cool. So moving forward, ladies and gentlemen, we have what a quote
the topic. Quote,
what is it?
Quote for the night.
Man, I've been doing this for a couple of years now, and I can't remember the sequence of events.
It happens with age.
Yeah. There you go.
All right, the quote for tonight, brought up by Fausto. This is one of his favorite quotes.
Oh, right on. Cool.
90% of all millionaires become so through owning real estate. Andrew Carnegie.
Yep. Wow, that's true.
It's a true fact.
Yeah.
I don't see that changing.
Me neither.
No.
I mean, buy the land, buy the house.
Yeah, let's not get into that topic, though.
It's still a sensitive one. It's still a little sensitive.
Yeah.
But no, let's proceed, man. What's the topic, Campos? What are we talking about?
So tonight? We're talking about what we're going to be talking about tonight is we have our special guest tonight, Fausto, who is a contractor.
Yep.
And we're going to talk to him and kind of pick his brain on how to make your flip affordable or make it work on a budget. Right. So we're going to talk about a few things, you know, and touch on a couple of different points to help our listeners out there who might be trying to work on a flip and just might have a tight budget. What are some of the things that we can do to help out and kind of give them some information on key points, right? What are things they should look at, look for, and make sure that they abide by the laws of the home being inhabitable?
Yeah, yeah. You know, the just for everybody upcoming in the business of real estate investing, yes, the HGTV shows are very, very nicely structured, where they in half an hour, they take you through a process of a, you know, rundown property to a beautifully finished product.
Yep.
But they omit a lot of information that can, it's crucial for you to understand. It's important for you to determine if that imaginary vision that you create by looking at a TV show is what applies to your new flip or your new acquisition. Because if you try to match what, you know, Property Brothers does or whatever their name is into your property and you don't do your math right, then your ROI is going to be shit.
Screwed. Yeah, I was going to say right? Screwed.
So you need to be surrounded by somebody that knows what they're talking about, what they're doing, and not only what they're doing, but how to do it efficiently.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. And that's why we brought in the professional.
Yep. What's so Fausto, tell us, man, how long have you been involved in construction?
In construction, so I've been self-employed for about 10 years now.
Okay.
I've been doing construction for about 12. Yeah. So it's been a little while.
And enough time to see pretty much, well, we think we see everything, right? But
yeah, no,
there's always something new to see.
Yeah. You'll learn something new every day in this business. Whether that's, you know, just doing something faster or just learning about a whole new system. It's just, yeah, it's never ending education here.
Products, regulations, application methods. All that, right?
Right.
Yep. Well, I mean, it's an interesting topic, and I'll say this in full disclosure from a contractor's view and an investor's view. You know, you investors, I'm going to exclude myself. You investors from on that side of the table.
Holy.
You know, you guys are cheap, you know? Investors are cheap by nature, man. You know, I don't know, but I understand everybody trying to retain as much as you can to amplify your margins, but sometimes you just can't cut corners, man. There's a very basics that you should not cut corners on. And regardless of how cheap you are, I think it really goes down that if you start cutting corners on the very basics, it's just because you didn't do your numbers right at the beginning.
Yeah, I would agree. I would agree. Yeah, no, I would agree with that.
So, Fausto, what are some of the basic things when you walk a property? You walk a property. Do you have to, as a contractor, do you necessarily have to know if it's going to be a fix and flip, if it's going to be a rental, if it's going to go back up on the market?
So it depends, right? So because investors are cheap, I don't work with a lot of investors, right? most of my work is retail, right? So I sell to homeowners mostly. When I go to a homeowner's house or a client's house, my main question is, what do you want? Ideally, what do you see in your head, right? Or what is the outcome that you're looking to get out of? And then I ask for the budget, right? Mm-hmm. Because those one thing could be, well, I want marble floors and gold faucets, right? But that the budget doesn't necessarily allow for that. Mm. So I just need to know what your goal is, if it's going to be rented. If it's just a rental, then okay, I know certain things that I can put in a rental where it's going to keep your costs low. It's going to make my job easier. And then ultimately, it just makes it easier on both of us at the end of the job.
Within budget,
yeah. So I just need to know whether, if you're going to rent it, flip it, sell it, just because every single one of those things entail different quality, different work, sometimes even different workers, right? Just because, I mean, if it's going to be your personal home, I'm guessing you're going to want maybe a little more attention to detail, mm-hmm. right? If it's a rental, you might not care if the tile is a little crooked, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you'll probably care if it's your house and you're looking at it every day.
Yeah.
So it just, it really depends on what the ultimate goal for that specific project is.
Okay.
Yeah. Cool.
And you know what, that's a good point. You know, as you're kind of saying, okay, maybe certain things aren't necessarily having to be, quote unquote, you know, air quotes here, the best, right? So do you look at things? Let's just say I'm going to flip a mobile home, okay? Do you look at the I'm not going to live in it, obviously.
Right.
Right? So do you look at the different options of what type of countertops to put in and what type of flooring to put in, things of that sort?
Yeah. Yeah. Again, it just comes down to what the ultimate destination per se of that property is, right? So in this case, if we're going to rent it out, then yes, of course, I would already know you probably don't want quartz, right, for countertops. So I might bring up Formica, right? I might bring up tile, right, just because you could do tile countertops. And it just, I would then talk to you, ask you what your preference is for that area there.
Okay.
Yeah, and then, of course, if there's damage, I'll go into that. If there's water damage, I'll tell you, like, hey, I may need to remove this. There might be damage underneath it, and then we'll just address it then. But, again, it just depends on what your ultimate goal is for that property.
Okay. Nah, and that makes sense. So let's just say an example, right? You walked a mobile home for me recently, and we looked at and there was some water damage. We knew we were gonna have to get new cabinets and subfloor and then we talked about the joists, right? Right. What quality of wood, like, is there different qualities of wood that you would choose from to do that work?
Yes, there is, right? There is different qualities of wood. There's different I don't know how to say this.
Great.
Like supply houses or mm-hmm. For wood, right? Different mill houses, if you will, okay. Where you can either order what you need or just, mobile homes, you'll typically might be able to find most of everything in like either Lowe's or Home Depot, just because it's, you know, it's kind of consumer grade stuff. Mm-hmm. It's nothing too fancy. You're not moving walls or adding beams. So it's pretty standard stuff that you might be able to find at Home Depot or Lowe's or your local mill house if you have one near you.
Gotcha. Yeah. Right on.
Yeah, for the structure of mobile homes, there's not very much of a single story. You know, there's not very much of a structure such as in a stick built.
Yeah. Little, you know? Yeah, there's some, I mean, oh man, my eyes just started burning. Sorry.
But so what are some of the bare basics that say we acquire a new property and it's outdated. Let's just say it's severely outdated. A 3-bedroom, 2-bathroom home, you know, with, let's just say 1,800, 2,000 square feet. You know, what are the bare basics that I would have to budget for to make it habitable for rental? What would you advise an investor to keep their eyes on to be able to move that property into a new rental without hesitation, without somebody saying, no, it doesn't have this? What are the bare basics somebody needs to live?
Right. So, you know, when you're kind of going out there and looking for property, I would say make sure the utilities work, right? Like you don't want to have clogged toilets because you don't know if it's you know, it could just be paper. You could have roots in the system. It could just, you know, you might have an old clay pipe that needs to be replaced, so you need to keep that into consideration. Also keep in mind what your electricity looks like, right? Just start playing around with all the switches, all the outlets. Do they flicker? Do the breakers pop after a minute or two of something being used? As long as you have the main things, you know, nothing's leaking, there's no leaks under the sinks, everything else should be pretty standard and fairly cosmetic. So I would say just look out for the main things, right? Again, the utilities. Make sure everything's working good. If you have old galvanized pipe, just be aware those create pinholes every now and then. You might need to repipe the whole house at a certain time. Clay pipe for your sewer line. If you have trees near, they'll get in there. They'll get in there and they'll start clogging up your system. And you'll have to replace, you know, a whole new sewer line. So that's a pretty penny there too.
Oh yeah, I had a property where there was I think it was like a pine tree, some sort of stupid tree. It was a stupid tree because it broke the sewer pipe. Otherwise, it would have been a nice tree, you know. But it broke my clay pipe, and I had to dig and just convert to ABS. Oh my god, that thing was like 6 feet deep.
Yeah,
dang.
It was super deep by the curb, man, just to be able to replace all that. Like, damn. 200 feet of it, the trench. Oh, my God.
That sucks.
And then, like Fausto was saying earlier, there's some... So when you transition from clay to ABS, it's not just something you find at Home Depot. Now you got to go to a specialized place that makes these or distributes these, but you don't find any of this crap around Home Depot or Lowe's.
Yeah, that actually happened to me on the weekend, like I mentioned earlier. I'm doing an JDU for a buddy, garage conversion. He has clay 4-inch pipe. I thought I was just going to get the couplings at Home Depot.
No.
And I had to go to Ferguson, but it was the weekend, so I had a... Ferguson doesn't open on the weekend. You have to go on Monday, so that, you know, there's things like that sometimes you don't think of, right?
Yeah.
And you're just kind of go at it thinking it's all pretty fairly straightforward, but no, there's things like that you needed to take into consideration.
Yeah. How often, because I've never come across clay pipes.
Okay.
How often, like what years of a home do you have to worry about a clay pipe or clay pipes, I should say?
I'm going to say, like mid-80s still. You know?
Yeah, I think it was like World War II, right? Because that's when all the metal started being used for
scarce,
the war.
Yeah, yeah, being scarce. Yeah. I mean, there's so many things that you know.
Because, man, I mean, not to get stuck on that subject of clay pipes, but clay, when it gets wet, it starts to soften, right?
Yeah, but it's not that type of clay.
Okay, because, I mean, that's what I'm thinking. Like, yeah, you know? Like clay, yeah, fucking so pipes,
we,
you know?
We just found out, don't give your plumbing to compost.
Yeah, don't. I'm not the guy. I am not the guy.
Yeah, no. So here's where my mind is going with this, Fausto. It's like every time I am trying to negotiate a property, one of my key questions to the seller is, you have to frame your questions, right? And frame your conversation. But one of them is this. Mr. Campos, if you had the money to fix everything that needs to be fixed in the house, what would be the two main items you would fix? And it puts them in an imaginary mindset of saying, man, if I had the money. And then they voice out, I would fix my sewer lines because they're clogged.
And bam, you already now you know what's going on with the house.
Now you know that you need a chunk of change to fix that. You know? Well, what's the other item? Well, you know what? If I had the means, I would pick up the carpet and I would show you the cracked foundation. Holy shit, another high ticket item.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people get stuck in the interior of the home and then they neglect, you know, overgrown trees right next to the property. So all these, I mean, you got me thinking with that, because the way I do these discoveries when I'm looking at property that I want to buy is I ask that key question. You know, if you had the means to fix the property, if you had the financing to do so, what would be the two things? Make it easy for them. Don't burn them out, that you would immediately fix.
And I think that is a very, it's super important, right? Information mm-hmm. for you to have on your hand. Mm-hmm. And right away, if you call Fausto, for example, to walk the property, if you get on the property with a new investor that doesn't understand, I'm not a contractor, and I love quartz, right?
Right.
So that is trouble. Yeah. No, but think about this. It's a new investor, doesn't understand the material, doesn't understand, you know, the plumbing, the claim, or the claim, whatever, clades, you know, doesn't understand all this information. Mm-hmm. And then Fausto is going to get stuck with the two sides of the job, because first, he needs to, you will need to work on the best knowledge as a contractor, right? And pretty much educate that new investor. So you need to point, those things are things that you have to point when you're dealing with new people in the business, new investors. You need to point, now this is not so important, but this is more important, like the foundation on this case. And, you know, doing the details inside of the property, like changing formicas, quartz, or granite, you know, it's going to give you that look, but you're not going to spend so much. Do you do that? Like when you are talking with the new investors over there, if you cross with them, what would you do on this case? If you have someone crazy with quartz, you know, and you know there is some big issues with the property, you as a contractor, how you're going to deal with that? Because you need to have a little, you know, a little side to do not offend, right?
Right.
Kind of.
Yeah, yeah. And I know, I understand what you're trying to say. I'll just use kind of Steve's property that we walked a couple weeks ago. So that particular property had some water damage, right? Basically the cabinet is completely just deteriorated. I was telling Steve it would be cheaper just to remove it and replace it completely versus trying to salvage it, just because it's going to take me the same amount of time to salvage it. Mm-hmm. Versus removing it and putting a brand new piece in there.
Yep.
Right. Luckily there, the formica that it's there, it's usable. So we might be able to reuse the formica there. And then also, so we don't start purchasing extra cabinets. What my idea was to reuse the doors. Right. So if we reuse the doors, we install a new cabinet. Basically, it gives you that brand new structure that you're looking for. It gives you the old look that the kitchen has, and it saves you from spending a have to buy a whole brand new kitchen.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
Now, refurbished the kitchen.
Yeah. Yeah, but now if you wanted quartz, that's a whole different thing, right? Just because it's a removal of the old formica. I need to install plywood for my quartz to sit on. I need to bring an extra crew just for them to come, cut, fabricate, install.
Yeah.
I'm
not a fan of quartz.
What do you do the extra step? And I mean, when you're educating the investor that do not know, would you write down the price, say, hey, this is the estimate to do this with the quartz, and this is the estimate to do pretty much the same job, reusing some of the pieces that we already have, and we're going to save this, and we're going to have, not save, but we're going to have the whole new thing pretty much for the price of a meter of quartz.
Right.
Would you point that way?
Yeah. I mean, honestly, whenever I do talk to like a potential new client, I itemize everything regardless. Good. So, you know, like for instance, excuse me, like with Steve here, the property that we're looking at, you know, I'll give him a price for rebuilding it. I'll give him a price for a brand new cabinet. And then I'll just give them a price for a brand new kitchen, right? Sometimes it's almost easier just to remove everything and just install everything new. And it might even, cost-wise, it might not even be that much. So sometimes I'll throw in a little extra more work-wise. Like, for instance, like a full kitchen tear out. You know, if you have an extra little bit, you might be able to just like, you know what, let's just do it correctly. Let's do the whole kitchen. We'll just start from scratch. Sometimes it works out, right? But yes, I do itemize everything. So it's people could just pick and choose. I want X, but not Y. I want Z, but not B.
Yeah, it's amazing because, you know, sometimes you're going to save a lot on details that you do not need, and with that saving, you might be able to change a couple of windows.
Yeah,
right. It's true.
If you don't go with the quartz, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, understanding where your property is. I mean,
yeah.
You already ran your ARV based on the neighborhood. Why not repair based on the neighborhood?
Right.
You know that your numbers, you made your offer based on the cap that neighborhood could give you, both rental and acquisition. Why not do your rehab based on what the neighborhood has? You know, you can't over rehab. I mean, you could. Nobody's going to pay you that back.
Yeah.
Even worst case, I mean, not worst case, this is real, not a good case. If you over rehab and then decide to rent, you know?
Yeah.
If you have a change of heart and not have clarity in what you're going to do with your property, and you think, okay, I'm going to sell it, and then you rehab it to selling standards, but then you say, I'm just going to rent it. Dude, you just froze 15, 20% of your money in a small change of heart. You know, because there is a difference between a price point for finishes in the selling market than a rental market.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying go be sloppy about your rentals, you know, like I like my rentals to be done right because renters don't take care of shit. And because everything's done right, we don't get any calls. You know, if you're cutting corners and you're going to rent it, I mean, some people, you know, some people hold on to properties for a $200 cash flow a month. And then at the end of the day, it's, you know, that
goes out in repairs.
Yeah, it goes on repairs, man. So what's really, what game are you playing, you know?
Right.
But, I mean, to each their own. You know, everybody has different ways of buying and different ways of repairing. But, you know, to Danny's point, do you advise people of over rehabbing not to over rehab or?
Yeah, I mean, especially if whoever the owner is thinking about renting it, right? Because to your point, people don't take care of stuff.
Yeah.
You know, you could put a brand new kitchen and within a year, it's going to look like it's 10 years old.
Right.
So, I do advise. I mean, you know, I try to save people money, but I also don't want to buy things like, for instance, like particle board cabinets.
This podcast is sponsored by Become an Investor. Here at Become an Investor, we believe in you and your unique potential. We're a community of like-minded individuals, all working a path towards financial independence. We're about empowering you to take control of your financial future. Well, how? Well, most of us got started with foreclosure leads, and you now can too. Follow the link in the show notes below, and for a limited time, you can get our foreclosure ebook. With that, we'll also send you up to 10 free leads in your local area. So get those leads. Get this book so you too can get started on your path to living life by design. Now back to the podcast.
From Home Depot, right? Just because you wet them once and they turn into cardboard.
Yeah.
So ideally, I don't want to use those. Mm-hmm. I'd rather use my suppliers, which is, the finished maple wood, hardwood. So it's, you could wet it a couple times. It's not going to warp or anything. A heavy leak, of course, is going to destroy them, right? But, so there's things that I do like to save on. Again, for mica versus quartz, doing a tub versus a walk-in tiled shower, right? Mm-hmm. That's a big one just because, I mean, a tiled shower is, what, like 10, 15 grand now?
Yeah.
It's kind of crazy if you ask me, but that's what they go for.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It versus the tub, you just tuck it in.
Not just that. a tub's going to be, what, 3 days of work from start to finish, maybe, and then a shower might take you 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Right? So you need to think about that. If you're renting the house or if you're in a hurry to rent the house, the investor or the homeowner needs to be flexible and understanding that timeline, right? Because I can't do anything about, you know, even if I wish I could build a shower in one day, trust me.
But then even if you did that implies three different trades.
Yeah.
Right. The plumber, the tiler, and then the glass doors and shit.
Right.
Right. You know, so when you do the tub, I mean,
you're practically done.
Yeah. That's like it's in and out. That's it.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's just, stuff like that. Also, like in this project that I'm working on, to save a little bit of money and space, instead of going with a vanity, I'm just doing a floating sink. Mm. Wall mount, floating sink, it just sticks to the wall. You save space.
They look good.
They look good. Really, really low maintenance.
Yeah.
I think it was like $79 at Home Depot, brand new, out of the box. You can't beat that wow. price.
Wow, that's cool.
You know, $100 toilet.
Yeah.
$300 corner shower.
Yeah.
Plastic walls. I mean, they are chippy. You are getting kind of what you're paying for.
Yeah.
But if your goal is to rent and maximize your time and your money, that's a way to go.
Yeah. You know, one of the things that I do spend money on my flips, this is just my thing, right, is toilets, dude. Toilets. I always change my toilets, and I always go those more expensive ones, where they, you can drain a bunch of
golf balls
in it, because they're gonna be bugging you. Everybody has kids, nobody follows the don't throw the stuff in the toilet type of rule.
Don't throw the dolls.
Yeah, so I found that early on in my career where I said, no, I'm just gonna put extra money into the toilet. I'll go with I'm okay with the tub. I'm okay with the tub. I'm okay with those prefabs too, just not the toilet. I just hate at the beginning. I used to hate getting calls for toilets. when I used to do my own management,
right?
But rule of thumb, for me, every property that we acquire, regardless of the how the toilet looks, I always change the toilets. I think it's something, You know, like if you go to a hotel, then yeah, they're not going to change the toilet for every person that comes in. But if I'm going to rent a house, I'd want my kids, to use a clean toilet, right? It's hygiene.
No, I'm with you on that. And that's something I like to do with my flips too, just in general. That's just my thing. I mean, even when I buy a house that I'm going to live in, I change all the toilets. You know what I mean? I would do that definitely. In fact, we talked about that when that mobile home, like, no, we got to change the toilets, right? I was like, one of the things I told you that we had to do. Mm-hmm. That's just my rule.
No, I mean, there's a point where a toilet ain't going to give you your money back, right? People won't go and say, oh, I'm not going to buy your house because your toilet's old. You know?
It's not even that, though.
It's just something that...
Yeah, I think it's the individual, right? It's just an individual preference. You know what I mean? Because there isn't anything that you're going to gain out of changing out the toilet. If the other toilet's perfectly good, it flushes. You know what I mean? It's just individual preference.
I mean, there is some investors out there, fucking pigs, that they'll just tape the toilet, you know? And then they'll call the their buddy to reglaze the tub and ask them to reglaze the toilet, too.
Oh, boy.
I'm just kidding. You can't do that.
I was going to say, like,
But a lot of people do cut corners like that, man.
That's crazy.
I don't know. For the toilet, me, you know, they have to be new, you know?
Disgusting.
But you know when you walk a property for an investor, what are the key things that you would advise somebody to put their money into? You know, is there like stronger points in the property that they should? This is a flip; somebody's gonna sell.
If it's a flip, you definitely wanna approach it a little different, right? You definitely want to spend a little more money. You probably do want the quartz, right? Versus Formica. Not only do they withstand a little more, they also don't stain as easily or scratch as easily versus Formica. So the kitchen's always a really big one. Bathrooms also, right? Bathrooms are always a big one. I would just say... you know, just a nice shower, nice modern look, tile to the shower would always looks good. Vanities nowadays, you know, they're fairly inexpensive. You can get a prefab, that comes with the countertop for about $1,000, give or take a couple hundred. I've actually liked to use, either Facebook or OfferUp. For some material stuff, they tend to sell some good stuff. For instance, like for shower walls, they have these PVC marble sheets now that they're using. So, not only if you don't want to spend that much money per se, like if you don't want to spend, you know, 10 grand in a shower, cut it in half. Let's put a decent, shower pan in it, and then those marble looking walls. It looks pretty nice.
Really?
It looks pretty nice. Obviously it's plastic, but I mean, just for aesthetic purposes, it's really good stuff. Yeah.
So do you still hot mop? No.
I personally don't like hot mop.
Okay.
Yeah. Every hot mop job that I've worked on tends to leak eventually. I like using the vinyl liner.
Yeah.
I mean, plastic, I'm going to die and
still going to be there.
That plastic's still going to be there. Yeah.
Yeah.
I've been doing my showers like that for 10 years and I've not gotten a callback. So,
yeah.
So plastic liners is the way for me.
Right on.
Yeah.
Cool. So bathrooms, kitchens, what other place in the house would you put extra money if you're selling the property?
So if you have the budget, definitely windows, right? Especially if you have like that single glass.
Mm-hmm.
Not only does it modernize your house look wise from the exterior and the interior. I mean, just the money on the efficiency, right?
Right.
Just on heating and air, it's gonna make your money back basically in a few years.
Yeah.
After installing windows, Of course, floors, right? You don't need to break the bank and install crazy marble floors. You could just, you know, there's some really nice laminated woods now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some nice grays, some nice browns that are fairly popular, fairly inexpensive, easy to install. Typically, you don't need to remove any tile, right? So it keeps costs down on the demo side of things, since since you don't need to stick down tile. So laminated wood floors are it right now.
Right on.
Yeah.
Cool. So that saves, the demo goes away. So that's a chunk of change that you could maybe up the quality of your laminate floors.
Yeah, you could, you know, if,
or the windows, like Danny said, get another two windows.
Yeah, if you're thinking about doing tiled floors and you know, you save half of that, you can put it in windows, upgrade the quartz, do a nice walk-in tiled shower in the master. You know, you just kind of pick and choose what would attract your eye the most.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Right on. What do you like? What do you most like doing about a rehab, and what do you most hate about doing in the rehab?
He's on investors.
Yeah. All right. So it depends. It depends, right? Because, like work wise, I hate sanding. Anything that in either sanding wood or sanding drywall, I hate it.
It's messy.
Yeah, well, no, it's not. It's not that. I think it's just too much for me. I don't know.
Really?
Yeah, I hate it. I always have a Home Depot or Lowe's run magically when we need a sand. So yeah. So that's sanding, any sanding, no, that's a no-go for me. But, I mean, the most fun is demo, right? Obviously.
You like demo?
Yeah, I mean, you just go in there with a sledgehammer and hit it properly, but you just can't go crazy and start hitting everything, right?
Yeah, yeah, so yeah.
Start making. Count.
Yeah, but yeah, no, demo. I like doing electrical. I like doing plumbing as well. Electrical is really fun. Just it's pretty. It's wakes you up when you're sleepy.
Yeah. Oh yeah. It does. Yeah. Yeah. Right on, man. That's cool. So in flipping houses, in the realm of flipping houses, do you notice more people leaning towards fixing the kitchens or the restrooms, or what would, if they would have to sacrifice one, which one would you advise them to sacrifice, or which one would you advise them to keep in an effort to move the product quicker, the house faster?
I would suggest the kitchen, right?
Do the kitchen.
Yeah. Do the kitchen. 100%. The bathroom, I mean, it's literally a back room, right?
Yeah.
And the kitchen's basically like the crown of the house.
Right.
Is the first thing you see when you open the door.
Yeah.
So, and that's where most of the life of the house is,
mm-hmm.
right? That's where most people are entertained. That's where people spend most of their time with their family. So ideally, if they only have the budget to fit one thing, I would suggest heavily go with the kitchen.
Go with the kitchen.
Yeah, go with the kitchen. You'll get more use out of it. You'll probably enjoy it more, and then it's more aesthetically nice versus a room in the back that you only, you know, the owner of the house sees.
Yeah, yeah. You know, when we walk properties, and I've seen it way too many times where people that are, you know, entertaining the career or getting into the career, they. You know, they walk the property. We give them their sheet. Go do your homework. Walk around. They don't go under the sink, man. Like, they don't go and look at the plumbing under the sink. In the restrooms either. They just don't, you know. And once you open the door, there could be so many surprises.
Yeah, I know.
You know, you could dump a grand under that little cabinet underneath the sink if you oversee it. you know? And it's interesting how people have been indoctrinated in a way to follow what they see on TV, it happening so quick, and they never tell you the real numbers, you know? And then they lean everything more towards the finished product and how beautiful they finished the product. And people kind of think that's the way this business runs.
All the time.
And in construction, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, Fausto, there's surprises every day.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, especially if there's any sort of damage, right? Whether there, it's a small hole that you never noticed, you know, that's letting in either pest or air or spiders for that matter, right?
Or more water.
Or more water, yeah. Yeah, if something's leaking and you don't notice it for a year, next thing you know, your kitchen's sinking.
Yeah.
And you don't know why.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's just, yeah, you need to, I mean, that's one of the very first things I do. When I walk a property, I just go and just start flushing toilets.
Yeah.
You know, I'll start flushing toilets. I'll turn on the sinks. I'll wait for them to turn off completely. You know, sometimes you shut off a shower or a faucet. You turn it off and it's still leaking for 5 minutes after.
Yeah.
So, you know, things like that, you need to be very, very aware more than anything. Just because, yeah. Yeah, I mean, if you don't know this leak and it's leaking and... it just opens a can of worms.
Yeah. So many different things, especially with older homes, you know. But as investors, that's what we're looking for, the older homes, because we're looking for, you know, part of the negotiating strategy is the repairs, you know. And if you buy a house that was built yesterday, there's not going to be any repairs.
Yeah.
There's not going to be no discount in the acquisition side. So because we look for deeply discounted properties, the repairs have to do a lot with negotiating those discounts, right? So, yeah, man, I mean, it could turn into a headache if you miss here and there. You know, I remember one time we did a property tour, and somebody missed the AC, and, you know, they were going to make an offer with no AC. And it was a huge 5-ton unit, you yeah. know? It wasn't like a little one of those window mount type of things. Dude, when you miss those things, it's like...
it's thousands.
Yeah, if you're going to have a small margin of profit and now you miss the AC, but you made an offer, wait a minute, with no contingencies, no inspections?
You're screwed.
You're screwed, man. So, you know, we highly advise that every time you walk a property, not every property, right? But every time that you walk a property that you're planning to make an offer on, bring somebody that has the eye that you don't have if you don't have the experience. Because it's going to cost you a chunk of change to miss out, you know? That's why people come to Fausto, because he has the eye. You know, he'll walk the property with... and I'm not putting you out there, you know, for you to walk every property with everybody, but yeah. Every property that is qualified to make an offer, you know, I'm pretty sure in our community you'd be open to putting your eyes on it, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Because you need to have that qualified eye that's going to see all these different things that you cannot see, that you don't understand. A lot of people don't know what's beyond the paint, you know? They don't know what's beyond the layer of paint. They painted their room, whatever color. You pick your color of preference. They don't know what's behind that.
And, anything behind it?
You know, you can find a dead body behind it, you know?
What's that smell?
Yeah, you know, so you need a qualified individual to come in and check out what you have, understand if it's an older home, dated, you know, pre-79, 80, 78 kind of deal, what you're going to be dealing with, asbestos and lead and all that. If you're going to be dealing with a unpermitted work, you might not have the eye for that, you know?
No kidding.
And a contractor with experience, immediately catches that. And if you buy into a property that is a 4-bedroom, 2-bathroom, but on title is a 2-2, you know, you're going to have to, it kind of sucks. Your math won't work anymore because you paid for a 4-2, but it's really worth 2-2. So you just bought yourself a short sale.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? You're welcome.
That's messed up.
Yeah. But yeah, no, I mean, that it is super important. I will say this again, as I always do. Investors, I, as an investor, will tell you this, and as a contractor, will also back up what I'm about to say. So, you know, we are cheap, or I won't say we. I'll say these two on the other side of the table. You know, but at the end of the day, if you cut corners on the expense of the contractor, you're going to get shitty work. Yeah. You know?
Yeah.
And maybe not shitty finishes, but you could get better finishes. You know, they might look fair for your rental, right? But they might not be the longer lasting good looks, right? Because there's good looks, and then there's longer lasting. You know?
Yeah.
So a contractor controls that. So if you go and nickel and dime a contractor and you cut him $5,000 short of what he's supposed to, you know, bring in a month, you know, don't wonder why your project is being delayed. Well, guess what? The $5,000 that you cut him down on, he still needs to that $5,000 to cover his expenses, his operating expenses.
Yep.
So if you didn't give him to if you didn't give him to him, he's gonna go look elsewhere, and then he's gonna stop your job because he still needs this $5,000. You know.
Yep.
So it's important to have your contractors well taken care of. I speak for contractors. I speak for investors. Don't be so cheap, investors. Take care of your contractors, because in the long run, it pays better dividends to have a long-term relationship with the contractor than fishing for a new quote every single house you touch.
Yeah, that I would say that saves you a lot of time, right? Like, even me as a contractor, I use other contractors myself, right? Mm-hmm. Of course, I'm not Superman. I can't do everything myself. So, when things get out of hand, I do call friends. I do call other contractors where I am able to sub that work out. And it does save time when you do have that reliable person you could call, right? Yeah. You're like, hey, you know what? So-and-so, I need X, Y, and Z done. Come, or when can you get it done? Can you get it done with the next couple weeks? Versus, just calling random people off of, I don't know, the Yellow Pages or Facebook or right. something, right? Or Craigslist.
Yeah.
First of all, you don't even know the person.
Nope.
You have to babysit, right? Which is, I don't like doing. And you don't know how they work. You don't know if they work.
Yeah.
You don't know if they're gonna show up to work.
Yeah.
So, you just take care of your people. Yeah, that's a really, really big one. I have workers that have been working with me for 10 years,
mm-hmm.
right? I have other buddies that have been working with me also for, 10 plus years.
Yeah.
So, just relationships is everything in this business. It'll get you much farther, especially you can't split yourself in two.
No.
You can't do everything at once. You're going to have to split your work, mitigate some of this stuff to somebody else. And, that's where you'll be able to expand your reach a little more.
Yeah.
Yeah, with other people, proper people.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, I think we had a good little chat about fixing flips and what to do, what not to do, how to create and take care of your team. And then just understand the high risk that there is in flipping houses when you don't have the right people in your team.
Yep.
Yeah.
It could be a money pit, man.
Yeah.
It could be a huge money pit. And you know what? Before I was going to close, I was going to ask everybody to close down. But before I do, I know people that got into the business driven by shows. Okay. Their enthusiasm driven by shows to get into the business. And then they flipped their first house, and their story is nothing but a horror story from real estate investing. That only sucks. Because they made the wrong decisions with the wrong people fixing the house.
That sucks.
Great buys, okay, with great buys, great acquisitions. But because they chose the wrong people, they over rehabbed, they did all these different factors that you're not supposed to do, they had a bitter, you know, experience in the industry when it's a great industry. You know, but at the end of the day, this should be like a general rule of thumb in the industry. You cannot run your comps, determine your ARV, and bring your repairs from another county. You know, from another city, from upgrade your repairs from another city. You should, if you're going to have, regardless if you're going to rent the property or sell it, you run your comps, determine your ARV, and then if you know you're going to rent it, you're going to be looking at your rent market. Look at what other properties have. That way you can claim the same rent or 10% above, right? And if you're going to sell it, look at the properties that you sold in that area.
Yeah.
And do the finishes.
Very similar.
In that area, right?
Yep.
Copycat.
Anyways, let's close it up. Danny.
Thank you, Fausto. Thank you for all the gold nuggets that you throw over there. I appreciate that. So, yeah.
Thank you guys for the invite again.
Right on. Yeah. Campos.
No, good stuff, man. Good stuff. I learned, like, you know, as we said earlier, I learned something every day. So I wrote down a bunch of notes just because. Look at my page.
We do have clean sheets of paper, you know.
I know. I actually brought this for a different purpose than I just started writing stuff. That's what I do.
Okay.
But yeah, right on, Fausto. Thanks for sharing, you know, your experience. Yeah, thank you. I couldn't get the word out. Thanks for sharing your experience on this. Yeah, good stuff, man.
Yeah, right on, Fausto. Well, thank you for being here. And I mean, everybody out there, you'll be hearing more from Fausto coming up soon, structuring some maybe step-by-step processes, classes on how to manage your project properly, how to determine you have if you have a fix and flip, if you have a rehab, if you have a complete teardown, if you're going to develop, whatever it is construction-wise, right? And then give us some pointers on what's the best route to take, right?
Yeah, definitely. Just, you know, exciting things coming up. You know, this is the time to kind of get yourself educated and you know, start looking for those resources, putting all of your team together. So, yeah.
Cool. Right on. Right on.
Good. Yeah. Fausto, if someone wants to contact you, what's your phone number?
Phone number is Erico 951-515-8090.
Can I send my bills? Just kidding.
You could send some checks.
I like the answer.
Yeah.
And Fausto is a licensed general contractor.
Yes.
Yes.
So just putting that out there, right?
Yeah, all over California. I'll go to Texas if you'll pay me. So.
Cool. All right. And if you guys need more information about us, would like to know a little more, send your questions to info@becomeaninvestor.com. You can also find us on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok. And don't forget to give us that 5 stars on our podcast. You can find us on Spotify, Apple Podcast, all the other ones out there. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks, everybody.
Bye, everybody.